And for those of us who remain, let's take out our Bibles. We're again in the Gospel of Matthew this morning. We're this morning Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read that in a few moments. So I just want to encourage you to have a Bible with you in some format. I'd encourage you as well. You know, I put together a sermon outline most Sundays, so there's a sermon outline this morning. You're welcome to use that to follow along. It doesn't help everybody, but I think it helps a number of us just to kind of keep track and write down some notes and questions you might have. I also want to, I don't know if you saw that in the e-news and the bulletin recently, but there's been a challenge from our youth ministry. They just started on Friday night going through the contemporary testimony, which is a document written about 30, 35 years ago in our denomination, a good overview of the Bible and a good overview of Christian faith. And so the youth ministry is challenging all of us to read through the contemporary testimony this summer. It's not that long. I think if you're sort of reading it through, maybe 20 minutes or so, you could have it done. So as they're studying it, especially this summer, they want to encourage us and challenge us also to be reading it and to be learning from it. So let me invite Ken to come up and to read this morning Matthew 7, verses 1 to 12.
Judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you can see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give the dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to the pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock on the door, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you, then though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Thank you.
Let's pray. So, Father, we're thankful for this portion of the Bible. Help us this morning to hear it clearly. And then we pray as we hear it clearly, your kingdom would come and your will would be done in our lives right now, maybe even this morning, as it's done in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A question I'm hoping that you can think about now, but also as we go through this morning's message, is how do you want people to treat you? How do you want others to treat you when they're interacting with you? How do you want people to speak to you or to act towards you or maybe even to think towards you as they're in some sort of relationship with you, whether it's just an acquaintance or a coworker or a friend or a spouse or a child? And I would encourage you to be as selfish, if I can say that, as selfish as you can, as you think about how you want others to treat you. Because I'm assuming that most of us, if not all of us, have a sense of, this is how I want others to treat me. If I might just throw out a few suggestions, like I want others to treat me with kindness. I want to be respected. I want to be listened to. I want to be acknowledged. I think most deeply, although we don't maybe always say it, I really want to be loved. Whatever your definition of what that love might look like, I think we all want, when others are interacting with us, we want something from them. And I'm encouraging you to have a little sense of what would you want? What do you desire others? How do you desire others to treat you when they interact with you? I think we all have at least a little list that we could use. This morning I want to use that question, especially as we look at the last verse that Ken read. He read from the NIV, very good translation. We use a translation in our church here, but in the sermon outline, I've taken a translation from the NET Bible. The NET Bible you can find online. I like the NET Bible because if you find the translation, there's always little notes about words or phrases or maybe sometimes even how to translate or how to interpret verses and parts of the Bible. So in the NET Bible, the verse goes, "In everything, treat others as you would want them to treat you, for this fulfills the law and the prophets." So treat others as you want them to treat you, which is usually called what? The golden rule. Why is it called the golden rule? It's called a rule, I think. I mean, maybe obviously, but called a rule because this is the guide for us in terms of how we are supposed to relate to others. This is command, yes, but how are the relationships between us and, you know, and others, us as human beings, supposed to go? And this is really in the area of what we might call, in some ways, ethics or behavior. How should you conduct yourself when you're interacting with other people? It's called golden, at least in part, I think, because it's sort of the gold standard. It's not sort of, it is the gold standard by which we can look at how we're doing with our interactions with others. Are we treating others the way that we want others to treat us? I was reading this past week, though, that maybe it's also called the gold standard because there's a story. Now, I'm not sure if the story is actual history or maybe more just legend or myth, but I was reading that there was an emperor, a Roman emperor, about 200 years after the life and ministry of Jesus, Emperor Alexander Severus, who adopted the golden rule as his motto, and he had the golden rule written on his wall, the wall of his room or his home, in gold. Now, maybe that happened, maybe it didn't, I'm not quite sure, but I love that imagery of having something written on the wall of your home. Some of us maybe have that, plaque or some sort of maybe Bible verse, some of us. I know a few years ago I was in the John Knox Christian School here in Burnaby, and I love how they have verses from the Bible on the walls of the school. I found that so powerful. Because if you're a student or a staff member at John Knox, and you're even just looking around, you're going to see, I would assume, verses that are important to that school. This is what we want the school community to be like, to be living their lives in accordance with the verses that they see around them. And I've actually wanted for a while, and I'm just going to throw this out there, for us to consider at Nelson Avenue putting verses on the walls of the church facility. Now, I know it sounds radical. You know, who would do that? But I want to suggest that might be an idea for us. Verses from the Bible that are connected with our vision and mission, verses that we want to continually remind ourselves of, this is who we want to be. This is who we want God to make us. And these verses scattered around the facility continually remind us of what's important to the culture and the community of Nelson Avenue. Now, Jesus is not the only one, of course, to talk about the golden rule. Maybe for some of us this is shocking, but Jesus is in a tradition, actually, of people who have mentioned the golden rule, some variation of the golden rule. And in your outline, I have four examples of the golden rule from different parts of human history, all of them from before the life and ministry of Jesus. So from the ancient Egyptians, it sounds kind of a bit of a jingle in English. I don't think it probably sounds like that in Egyptian, but do for the one who may do for you, that you may cause him thus to do. I'm feeling a bit of a, you know, almost, I was almost going to do it this morning, but I won't. I'm almost a bit of a rap. Some kind of Confucius said, 500 BC, never impose on others what you would not choose for yourself. Or from ancient Greece, do not do to others that which angers you when they do it to you. Or from the Buddhist faith, hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. So it's all kind of variations on the same theme. As we look at Jesus' formulation of the Golden Rule, I want to point out for all of us Greek scholars out there this morning that I was so thankful to find in the Greek, the original language of the Gospel of Matthew, that there is a word in there that doesn't really show up very well in the NIV or even the NET Bible. I had to include it this morning in the translation, but there is the Greek word oun. O-U-N, which means therefore. And whenever we read the Bible, we should always be looking for little words like that, little conjunctions, for, or therefore, or because. And therefore is a word that links what Jesus says to what he just said. So it links what he's teaching about, and he just told us that, although it sounds difficult for us to hear, you know, we're evil. But even though we're evil, we know how to give good gifts. For those of us who have children or grandchildren or someone, you know, we're buying a present for someone, we know how to give good gifts to others. And even though we're like that, we can still do that. How much more God gives good gifts to those who ask him? So we have a God who is far more generous, far more lavish than we would be, even though we might consider ourselves generous and lavish. We have a God who's way more lavish and generous. Therefore, since you have a God like that, treat others as you would want them to treat you. So this morning, the golden rule, but I was also thinking about maybe other rules that we might make, you know, or maybe sometimes we live by. Like I might call it the bronze rule. So it's a kind of two rungs down from the golden rule. The bronze rule says, do to others what you think they would do to you. Now, it's possible some of us might live like that. If I think someone's going to be kind to me, I'm going to be kind to them. If I think someone's going to be not so kind to me, I'm not going to be so kind to them. And that could maybe get you through life, could maybe help once in a while. There's also what I would call the silver rule, which I find is many of the formulations of the golden rule, even the ones I read this morning from Buddhism, from Confucius, they are all negative formations of the golden rule. Don't do to others what you do not want them to do to you, which is good, actually very good. But it's all negative. So if you don't want someone to murder you, don't murder them. Right? Don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. Right? Which is okay. It's good. It'll get you through more of life than the bronze rule. But Jesus says, not don't do, but he puts the onus on do. He puts the onus on do good. I think he's assuming don't do what you don't want others to do to you. But he's saying, I want you to be proactive. I want you to be doing things in people's lives that you want them to do to you. And I find, and maybe later on you'll tell me, well, it wasn't as wise as you think it is. But I think Jesus is so wise here. And I'm going to say again, he's so outrageous. He's so outrageous. You know, there are two ways that we can get at ethics or at how to behave. We can, and we should, listen to what God says. So God says, do not do this or do not do that or do this, and we should abide by that. But Jesus, as he's teaching us, doesn't do that. He doesn't say, God says, do good to others. He actually goes in a different direction. He goes in a, I would call a human-centered direction. Human-centered ethics. And he wants us to be thinking about how we want others to treat us. He wants us, I think, to be a little bit selfish. And I would say, come up with a list of how we want others to treat us. That the selfish desire or the selfish gene in us is the way that we figure out how we conduct our lives to others. So the standard by which we figure out whether or not we are living our lives rightly is how we want others to treat us. That's how I started the message this morning. And I'm hoping that most of us have some little list, maybe a long list, of how we want others to treat us. And then Jesus, I think, he takes the selfish desire that we have and he turns it on its head. So if you have the list of how you want others to treat you, treat them that way. I thought that might get a little bit more. You have the list, probably a very selfish list. Use that list as a standard for how, not for how they act toward you, but how you act toward others. There's this great story in the Bible that I think illustrates this. It was the best example I had come up with this morning. It's from the book of Esther. Esther was this beautiful Jewish young woman. She was selected by the king eventually to become his queen. And Esther has an uncle, Mordecai. And Mordecai, who was connected with the royal court a little bit, found out about a plot to kill the king. He has those people exposed. They're executed. The king's life is saved. A few months, I don't know, years later, the king can't sleep. And maybe like kings do, he says, read me the history of my kingship. Somewhat, I think, egotistical, right? Tell me about what I've done. Tell me what's happened in my kingdom since I started reigning. So this is a way to go to sleep at night. So the person's reading about Mordecai. Mordecai, there was a guy named Mordecai, and he saved your life one time, king. He exposed these conspirators. And the king says, whatever happened to Mordecai? Did we ever thank him, send him a note, send him a present, do something for him? And the reader says, nothing's recorded. Nothing was done for him. And then at the exact moment, in comes Haman. Now Haman, almost like the king's counselor, but he's the bad guy in the story. Haman comes in, and the king, oh, Haman, what should I do for the person the king delights in? Haman thinks, it's got to be me. It's got to be me. He wants to do something for me. How would I want the king to treat me? Here's my chance. Well, I should have, he doesn't say about that person, Haman's thinking me, should have a robe, put me on a horse, treat me well, and send someone in front of the horse all through the city saying, this is what happens to the person the king delights in. That would be great, king. And the king says, do that for Mordecai. And that's what I sense is happening in the Golden Rule. How do you want people to treat you? With what kind of tone do you want them to talk to you? Well, even when they think about you or talk about you behind your back, how would you want that to go and then use that to do the same thing to others? Now, some people in human history have used the Golden Rule as a way of, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine, so I'm kind to you, you're going to be kind to me. And whenever that works, whenever that happens, I think that's wonderful. But Jesus gives no promise that's going to happen. So he doesn't say, do unto others how you want them or how you wish they would do unto you, so that when you do unto others, they will also do unto you. It's not a scratching each other's back. He doesn't give a promise like that or assume that's going to happen. Maybe, but maybe not. And that's where I see that Jesus goes deeper than the Golden Rule, right? I'm going to call it the diamond rule or the platinum rule, whatever is more precious than gold. That Jesus comes into the world, I think, doing unto others as he wants them to do to him, doing unto others as he hopes they will do among themselves, but he does that knowing that he will be treated horribly by the others. There's no guarantee. In fact, in the life of Jesus, he knows what's going to happen to him. That at his worst moment, his friends desert him, he's left all alone, and his enemies torture and kill him. He knows that's going to happen. But he lives his life with the same intensity of love and compassion, which I think goes deeper than the golden rule. And not just as example for us, but as what happens to any one of us who believes in Jesus. Because we have this recurring pattern in our lives. I treat Jesus horribly. He always says, come to me. I dismiss him. I sometimes despise him. I wish he wasn't around. I question him. I sometimes shake my fist at him. I ignore him. But he always says, come to me and find rest and forgiveness and the Father's love. It is deeper than the golden rule. And the experience of what happens with Jesus, who always is inviting, always calling, always beckoning. You know, it's not just a second chance or the 100th chance. It's a 1,000th or 10,000th or 1,000,000th chance he continually gives. The 1,000,000th invitation to come to him. That experience of what happens between us and Jesus is meant to be part of the motivation where we would try. I don't think we can live the diamond rule. But as we experience the diamond rule or platinum rule through Jesus, he gives us grace. He gives us a sense of what it would be like to live the golden rule. So as we think about, and I'm just thinking this morning, spouses, parents and children, friends, even people in the church, even as we greet each other in the morning or later on for lunch, this morning I want to say, how would you want someone else to treat you this morning, after the service, let's say? Use that to treat them. Right? So I want people to acknowledge me. Acknowledge someone this morning. I want people to be interested in me. Do that for others. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. I want, in certain situations in my life, I want to experience forgiveness. I don't want someone to simply say, oh, I forgive you. I want to know I'm forgiven by someone when I've done something wrong. Do that for others. There are times where I need grace that I don't deserve. Do that for others. Right? We want certain things from others, certain things in our relationships, and the call this morning is to take that longing and that desire, and by God's grace and Spirit, because of what Jesus Christ has done for us, because the Father we have is so generous and lavish, to do that for others. So I know some of us, I don't want to mention names this morning, some of us love to talk. And we love it when others listen to us talking. We love that. We hope others will listen to us. For those of us who are predisposed that way, maybe this morning it's, I want others to listen to me. Maybe this morning is my time to listen to others. Right? Just ask a question or two and just, by God's grace, or sometimes, you know, we're people who, you know, a lot of kindness is given to us. We recognize there are people around us who are really kind. And maybe this morning or this week it's, I'm gonna do that to others. I love to get that kindness. I love to get that appreciation. I love to get that those words. Let me use that longing in my attitude or my relationship. I was thinking this morning as well, and these are dangerous places for me to talk about because I'm no judge. I've never been in a courtroom that was actually active and things were happening. So I got to be careful this morning. I'm not apologizing. I'm just saying I'm not a judge. I don't know the legal system really well. But I was thinking about that case, about that young man who sexually assaulted an unconscious woman. He got 6 months. That just seems, now I don't know all the detail, but it just seems wrong. And when I was thinking this morning about the golden rule, I thought, oftentimes when a judge will judge, he will say, well, what does this person deserve? What's the right sentence for this crime? And with the golden rule, I'm thinking, well, let's ask that question, but let's also ask another question. What would I want the judge to do if I was the person assaulted? Right? How would I want others to treat me? Now, maybe it's not quite the golden rule, but I see as Jesus is just one verse in the Bible, but I find it so sort of revolutionary in my thinking. We have the convicted person, but we also have the victim. And so for the judge to think, if I was the victim, if I was the one assaulted, how would I want this to go? What would be justice, not just in terms of the crime, which 6 months seems lenient, but if I was the person who was victimized, is this right? And if she was the judge and I was the one assaulted, what would I want? How should this go? I think sometimes asking those kinds of questions that for me lead out of the golden rule help us in what's right in this situation or in other situations. I want to say one final word about the opening verses of our passage this morning. Jesus says, do not judge, and then he goes on to talk about eyes and, you know, specks and logs in the eye. And some people have said, based on just the first verse, no one should judge anybody else, right? That's sort of what Jesus says in the first verse. Then he goes on to explain what he means. But some people have used that verse to say, no one should judge anybody else. Now, I think that's impossible. Because to even say, no one should judge anybody else, is a judgment. Right? We cannot get away from making judgments. So all of us, when we look at our own lives or we look at the lives of others, we're making judgments. You know, was that right? Was that wrong? How would I do that? Should this person be talked to? Blah, 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 blah. And as Jesus continues to talk about what does he mean by not judging others, my read of those verses is, don't judge them in a way that's judgmental. Don't judge them in a way that comes across like I'm all good and you're all bad. Like you have things wrong in your life and I have nothing wrong in my life. Don't do that. Don't see specks in people's eyes, but there's a huge plank in your eye. Don't be that kind of person. Don't be a person who can't assess their own lives and doesn't come and say, you know, there are things that are not right in my life. I know that. I'm acknowledging that. And I'm here not to say I'm all right, but I'm wondering about this aspect in your life. And as a brother or sister, especially in the church community, if there's something going on in my life that should be talked about, I want to be open to that. So as I read the beginning of the passage and the end of the passage, for me, I read, when someone comes to talk to me about something not right in my life, I want them, or I want to talk to them as I hope they would talk to me, with humility, with grace, with an understanding that there could be specks or even planks in their eye. There could be sins that in their life that they're also acknowledging. And for me, this becomes a witness, not just in the church, but also outside the church. I think the world needs to see and experience a church community that might say there's things in society we might not agree with, but we're going to talk about those things in a way that acknowledges that there are also things in our lives, in our church community, that aren't right. That we've experienced maybe some of the things going on, that we understand the power of those things. We understand forgiveness through Jesus Christ. We understand the grace of God. We aren't here high and mighty. We aren't here all perfect. We aren't here as people who know it all. But we're here as people who have come under the authority of Jesus and are, in some sense, reaching out a hand to others to say, could I talk to you about that? There's things in my life we should talk about, but there's also things in your life or in this community or in this place that we should talk about. So we have a Father in heaven. I just want to connect verses 11 and 12 this morning and then pray with you. We have a Father in heaven who loves to give good gifts to his children. Therefore, in everything, treat others as you would want them to treat you. Let's pray. So, Father, we pray again that your kingdom would come. Your kingdom would come in our lives through our embodying the golden rule. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.